is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The headline is stark. London. PM insists she won't resign after sacking Kwasi Kwarteng. I go to Brett Ahrens of Market Watch. He is Break the Glass, Brett Ahrens, and the glass is breaking on both sides of the Atlantic. We'll begin with the London breaking. Liz Truss insisted she will not resign after sacking Kwasi Kwarteng, reads the Telegraph, as Chancellor and replacing him with Jeremy Hunt as she announced a major U-turn on her mini-budget. Brett, a very good day to you in London. Thank you for this. We need to explain how the leader of the parliament cannot at this point determine her fate, that it is very much up to her own party. Liz Truss is prime minister right now because Boris Johnson, the previous prime minister who was elected overwhelmingly with his party just a few years ago, was asked to leave or pushed out, I think is the impolite way, by his own party. And I'm presuming that can happen again. What is this process that says the nation doesn't vote on its leaders, that only the party does? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Good evening. You know, they need to pay me to stay away. Every time I come to London, there's a disaster. The latest one is so extraordinary that a friend of mine who is a former conservative cabinet minister said he'd never seen anything like it. The way for Americans to understand the British government is to think of the prime minister less as the president and more like the Speaker of the House of Representatives. In other words, more like a Nancy Pelosi figure, which is to say, prime ministers are not directly elected by the public. They are chosen by the majority party in the legislature. So you vote for a member of parliament the way in America we vote for a congressman, and the majority party that wins the congressional election, the House of Commons election, chooses their leader. And that is how a prime minister is chosen. It's not a direct election. Boris Johnson was never directly elected by anybody in the country at large. He was chosen by the conservative members of parliament. Now, what's happened is both major parties, Labour and Conservatives, now have a system whereby they have outsourced the leadership of their party, the act of choosing the leadership, to the party members, the grassroots activists. So, if you like, a little bit like going to, you know, the registered Republicans or registered Democrats. So the long and short is, when Boris Johnson was ousted, the Conservative members of Parliament had a series of ballots, and they chose two people, Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss, to go through to the final ballot, and they put their names to the party members. So about 150,000 Conservative Party members in the country, activists, got to vote. They chose Liz Truss over Rishi Sunak, and the Conservative members of Parliament then honored that decision and made Liz Truss the Prime Minister, made her the leader of the Conservative Party and therefore Prime Minister. This has been an obvious fiasco, and it was obvious right from the start. I've said this, I think, on this show a number of times, and I've made this point in public. Liz Truss, I'm trying not to call her an absolute moron. I'm trying to be a little bit more polite than that. Let's just say that every appearance she's made in public, speeches she's made, interviews she's given, have been cringeworthy. She has made so many goofy, idiotic, nonsensical public statements. She really reminds me of Sarah Palin with a British accent. She does not interview well. She does not speak well. I have been trying to understand a single reason why anyone would have voted for her for the leadership of the party. She was chosen by the activists. The members of parliament were not, they would have preferred Rishi Sunak, who was the former chancellor, but they had to go with the decision, the preference of the party activists. That's why she got the job. She has been out of her depth from day one. This is an entirely self-made disaster by the Conservative Party, putting this person in charge. And right now, bookmakers in London think that they will give you 12-1 on Liz Truss surviving as leader of the Conservative Party and Prime Minister until the next scheduled general election in 2024. It's only about 18 months away, but they think it is so unlikely that you can get odds of 12 to 1 on that bet. In other words, they think it's not even 8% chance that she will survive until 2024.
The economy is rollicking in reaction, but it was already in turmoil. So I note that there seems to be a complete collapse in confidence in the institutions of British government, not only the PM's office and not only the Exchequer, but also the Bank of England. Is that independent? Are these independent events, or are they linked?
They are linked. This is more broadly a collapse in, yes, exactly, a collapse in confidence. Because the governing Conservative Party has put someone in office who is so clearly not up to the job, the markets basically are panicking about British assets generally. The interest rate now on British government debt is about the same as the interest rate on Greek government debt, even though Greece has effectively been in default, or quasi-default, however you want to put it. British government debt is much more expensive now than Irish government debt or French or whatever, because the markets are concerned not just about inflation, but also about stability. There doesn't seem to be any political, financial, or economic stability. The Bank of England is trying to bail out the bond market. A critical decision, a critical error that Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng made when they announced their mini budget just over a month ago was that they didn't bother, they didn't feel they needed to get an opinion on their tax cuts from the Office of Budget Responsibility. That would be the equivalent of trying to pass a huge tax cut in America without getting any kind of analysis from the Congressional Budget Office. It's essentially, well, we don't need that. That's beneath us. It was absolute sort of, seat of the pants, cowboy politics. It was totally amateur hour. It was, and that really is what I think sparked a lot of the panic, a sense that essentially the British government, the leadership of the British government, was no longer paying any real attention to the basic fundamentals and the basic rules by which it had previously been governed.
Now, break the glass, you have to do just a minute or so on the catastrophe in this side of the Atlantic. The inflation report frightened Wall Street, although it confirmed what many have been observing, that the inflation story is now out of control and that the Federal Reserve must move resolutely. So my single question is the perception in Europe that the Federal Reserve will continue to tighten with jumbo hikes? Is everybody building that into their numbers? We have about a minute.
Yes, they are. I do think at this point, people in Europe are rather more concerned about the apparent implosion of the British system of government, as well as war in the Ukraine, and the looming energy crisis for the winter. However, yes, people are thinking that the Fed is going to have to keep hiking interest rates to rein in inflation. It is very bizarre to me, and I got to tell you, I just don't understand it at this point. I have talked before about the bizarre messaging of the bond market.
Right.
The bond market, the U.S. bond market, continues to be very sanguine about inflation. In fact, I just bought some inflation-protected U.S. government bonds because they are bizarrely cheap. I must be missing something, but I've often found when you think somehow you're missing something, it may be, don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Mind your step, break the glass. There's broken glass all around you. Brett Ahrens of MarketWatch in London for a double Break the Glass episode. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.